What is up, guys? Zach in here.
Rick in here.
And in today's video, we are on day 8 of the 30-day wholesaling challenge. So in today's video, we are going to give you the ultimate guide to going out here and pulling the best free lists on the internet or in person. These are called government lists. And all you need to know about government lists are they are this secret list that no other wholesaler on YouTube ever talks about. We're the only persons to ever talk about this government list. It's a big secret. And what we want to do is just show you it, because guys, we scream about this, friend. We talk about government lists all the stinking time. And really what we want to do is show you how to find and pull these government lists. And you might be shocked, but these government lists are free. Most wholesalers that don't watch this YouTube channel never pull them. And there's more of these type of leads than almost any other paid source. And this is going to be a lead where you got no money at all and you want to have an unfair advantage with your competition. This is the exact list to do. These are the top free lists. And these are lists. I'll tell you this. I don't get you too excited, but these type of government lists, I look at my top five wholesaling deals of all time. They're all $100,000 deals. Plus, my biggest deal ever, $115,000, all from government lists. And so that's, guys, why we scream about government lists so much, because they are the biggest bang for the buck because they have the most motivation. If you understand one thing about wholesaling real estate, you get paid in proportion to the problems you solve. And government lists have the biggest problems, and that gets us the most money possible. So we're excited about this today, right?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the simplest path is the one that's most often overlooked, because as humans, we overcomplicate stuff. Listen, our best deals always come from a government list, and it usually indicates the highest motivation. So I didn't say it comes from realtors. It comes from MLS. The best path is directly to the seller that has a problem with the property, and all signs point to government lists. Guys, I've been doing this 21 years. I would spend all my energy on government lists. I'm not going to call on MLS. I'm not going to call listed properties with realtors. It just doesn't, like, that is not the path of wholesaling. That is a different path, and it's for a different type of technique. We are always talking about wholesaling, and that's what we focus on. So if you want to join us on the journey on day 8 of the challenge, we're going to go knee deep into this and show you how to do it. Remember, sometimes the simplest path is the one that is most often overlooked, because we as humans complicate stuff. So let's dive into it.
Let's get into it. And these are all the free lists. And so this is going to be how to do them step by step. This is a complete tutorial. So when I say step by step, guys, you always hear me say government list, government. Everyone hears me say government list. What I want to let you know is in this specific video training, we are going to show you literally how to pull every type of government list, where to pull them and how to pull them, and all for free. So let's get it going, guys. This is day 8 of the 30-day wholesaling challenge. Guys, you know, we are on day 8. We have way more days left in this challenge, and I know everyone's getting going, so we're excited. So guys, before I break it down, do me a favor. Make sure you guys smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, that bell notification, and comment below your questions, and I want to help you become the best wholesaler possible. Get your first deal this month in the 30-day wholesaling challenge. So without further ado, let's get it going, guys. Go out here, and let's get this intro.
Let's do it.
Woo!
Get the fuck out of bed, bitch. Go. Get up, get up. Get the guy going on. Gotta wake up. Gotta wake up, bitch. Get up. Get up.
Guys, that gets me always jacked up. You know, I've never not seen that and not get more excited. And that's the point.
That would be my fight song coming into the UFC right there.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, let's get it going. Let's learn how to pull government lists step by step today. And let's get it going, guys. No money involved at all. This is it. So, without further ado, Let's break this down. Let's break down how to pull these government lists step by step today for wholesaling real estate success. So, how to pull government lists. In today's video, we're going to show you how to find and wholesale government lists absolutely for free, no money at all. There's zero excuses for you not to pull these lists and actually have success with them. I want everybody watching this to know, zero excuses today. So let's break it down. Let's get into it. So number one, why use government lists? All right. So I don't think there's much convincing I have to do on government lists, just telling you how much money we make on them. But let me just show you a couple things. Okay. Number one, government lists are free. Cost zero money at all. Let me explain this one more time. Zero money to pull these lists. When every single person is telling you to go to this software, that software, blah, 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 or use my free software to pull good. Guys, I want you to understand, free software can't get these type of lists. Even when you use a free software type thing, they can't even get this list. These are very hard lists to get for a software, which means you have an amazing advantage of it. We got to go old school, guys, right? These government lists have what we call the best ROI and ROT of any type of list possible, guys. Now, what is ROI and what is ROT? So ROI is return on investment, right? That's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. I spent $1,000 on this list. What do I get back from it, right? Like really, ROI, ROT, it's amazing. And that's what we're talking about. So ROI, best bang for your buck. But what's ROT? ROT is return on time. Probably one of the most important measures we have in wholesaling that nobody really ever talks about. ROT is basically how much time I put in with these lists. So how many hours do I put into cold calling and how many deals I get? Nobody ever, they only care about the money. It's all about ROI. No. ROT is huge. And what I want you to understand about ROT is, yeah, maybe you spend a bunch of money, but if you have to spend 50, 60, 80 hours just to get one lead, that's stupid. And when you're using a paid software service, and you don't like have much starting out and you're manually skip tracing these high equities and like anything, you got to get the very, very huge motivated leads. So ROI, ROT, government lists have them all. It's the best one I've personally seen. On top of that too, these are just better, straight up better than any paid list you possibly have out there. I'm telling you from experience, it is better than any paid lists. And we're going to explain why, but I'm telling you, it's amazing. And another reason here is obviously it's less saturated than any other list out here. Okay. There's less wholesalers contacting people on government lists than on a paid list or from a free software type thing. It's just simple math. And so let me explain easy data versus hard to get data. Why is this list less saturated? Does it mean it's worse? No, that's not it. Let me explain. This is pretty simple. Number one, the easier it is to get a list equals more wholesalers marketing to it. It's pretty simple, right? I think this is the simplest equation. You know, if more people have something, usually it's less desire, supply and demand.
What's the most public list out there today?
The most public list out here, I would probably say the high equity, and Zillow for sale by owners. On market too, I would say too.
MLS.
MLS on market. And yeah. So like the easier it is to get that data, more wholesalers are going to market to it. And so it's super easy right now to go use any software and get the high equity list. Guess what happens when every other wholesaler and their mama has a high equity list? You're competing with 30, 40, 50 other wholesalers. That becomes a lot harder to get a deal. I don't care if you're the king closer, right? If you got 40 or 50 wholesalers you got to go against, it makes it a lot harder to do. Okay. You could be LeBron James playing basketball. You can beat anyone one-on-one. But if I have to go against 7 high school players, I could probably win. But if it's LeBron James against 30 high school players, just too many people. It, at that point, it doesn't matter. You could be Conor McGregor, fight one guy, you could probably beat him. But if 7 guys gang up on him, it's a lot harder to win. Kind of similar with marketing, right? You can be the best wholesaler possible. We got 40 or 50 other people. It just makes it more. I'm not saying you can't do it. It just makes it more difficult. Mm-hmm. And so when you get a list that anyone can possibly pull, it's harder to get a deal from that. Now, from my experience, the harder it is to get a list, the more difficult it is to acquire it. That usually means less wholesalers are marketing to it, which means when I call for an hour, I have a better chance of getting a deal because there's less wholesalers than if I call for 5 or 6 hours on a stupid saturated list.
Fixes your ROI and your ROT right there.
Exactly. And so that's what we're talking about today. Like, how do we, I'm not here for you guys to just go crazy and call all day, beating your head against a drum. This is why I talk about government lists all the time. So what is a government list? Okay, this might be the big question. You know, what is it? A government list is basically a free list of potential sellers who have a motivating factor that might, okay, I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but it might lead to them wanting to sell their house for a deep discount. That is what a government list is. And so, talking about this, easier to get a list, more wholesalers marketing to it. Harder to get a list, less wholesalers. And if they have a motivating factor, it will be amazing. One thing I will let you guys know, most wholesalers are too lazy to pull these type of leads. I really understand this. When it comes to government lists, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
No.
But let me mention this. Yeah, to pull a government list, to get a government list, it's not as easy as going on the software, clicking a couple buttons, and then exporting it. I'm sorry.
I wish it was that easy. But I really do.
Here's the problem. It's easy going in, right? I click the button and I get in my thing. Oh, this is great. Guess what happens, though? I'm calling for 5 or 6 hours with no good deals. What's more difficult? That? Or, yeah, I have to spend an extra hour or two to get that list. But when I call, it's super easy. And here's the cool part, too. I could pay a VA $4 or $5 an hour to do it for me.
Yeah. So we come back to the truth of wholesaling. This is how it works. Okay. And this is where most gurus mislead you. So if it's really easy on the front end, like you pull an MLS list, you're calling realtors, or you're getting a paid list and it's delivered to your desktop, I love it. The price is there, seller's information, sometimes the phone number's there. It's easy. You know what they want. This pictures, it's vacant. Sounds super sexy. That's how most of you get sold. The reality, though, is it's brutal on the back end because it never transpires. And if you have no experience, it's almost impossible or a less than 1% probability. The way me and Zach teach you is 21 years of my data. He's got plenty of years in it. He's going into 7. Is if you do the hard stuff up front, just like in life, it's easier on the back end. So you choose which way you want to do it. You actually get a better return on your investment, return on your time, if you do it the way we show you. Why? I'm not just spitting this stuff up to sell you a coaching course. I'm giving you the truth of thousands and thousands of deals of data. Do the hard conversations up front, get the right list, and then it's much easier to wholesale to your contract to cash buyers. Do it the other way. You buy expensive courses. They wear you out after 3 to 6 months, and you give up on wholesaling. It's your choice. I'm giving you the truth. Very few people are actually going to give you the truth like me and Zach do.
Yeah, I tell everyone about this. It's like ROI, ROT. It's all about how much time you're spending in this business, how much you're getting out here. And I know for most people watching this is why I'm making this video. I'm begging everybody. Most people have full-time jobs. They got kids. They got a wife. They can't be grinding 15 hours a day. Nice. Like I mean, I did that when I was starting out, but I didn't have a wife or kids, right? Like, come on. Okay. I was broke. I was willing to do it. So what I'm telling you to do is you don't have all the hours. So it's best if you're going out here and you're spending your hard time away from your family, you have the best chance of getting deals. And this is what we're talking about today, guys. I'm begging you guys, the people that actually pull these lists and do well, they do amazing, okay? So why are government lists a secret? This is probably, if you started this challenge and you watched every YouTuber on wholesale, the first time you've ever heard this term, okay? To this day, people talk about government lists to a guru on a live stream and they say, what's a government list? That's literally what they say.
I'm actually shocked being in this business 21 years. Like, we don't own the rights. I know we've coined the phrase government list, but it works. I just don't know why everyone's not preaching from the rooftop saying, do the government list, make it part of your checklist. Maybe it's because you can't sell a course on it, but like, I get you could sell a course on it. Just give the people the information they need to. We are looking for motivated sellers. We're not looking for people who want to sell their properties for tippy-top dollars with a realtor. To be honest with you, that's what realtors do. I don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to let everyone know. We coined the phrase government list. We're the first ones on YouTube to talk about it. But there's a book, How Real Estate Fortunes Are Made, by George Bockel. This is, if you watch this, like those weird ninja movies or like whatever, they have the ancient scrolls that they read it and changes everything. They have all these. This is our ancient scroll for wholesaling. This is book from Tao. This is our Tao from 1972. George Bockel, Real Estate Fortunes Are Made. Government lists, wholesaling, subject to creative financing, how to buy properties, how to manage properties. This book, it was insane. Okay. How to actually pull things, how to find sales, like how to actually scale your wholesaling company. This book is amazing. You can't find this anywhere. This is an amazing book. Government lists are in here. I'm telling you guys, we didn't find this new information. We have the ancient scrolls on the channel. Yeah. I'm going to talk to the publisher, see if I can publish it in freelancing.com. I'll pay a bunch of money. I don't care. Amazing book, guys. And what I can tell you is we did not find this, but these are tried and true systems that have been worked for 1972.
Okay. I actually got that book from one of the first few wholesales I did. Yeah. It was sitting in the back room.
Because it was divine.
It's amazing.
For the divine came
through.
He had
a whole box of like investment all from the 70s and 80s. I go, my God, I think I struck gold.
There's that flip book. There's a lot of books talking about government lists. And so this is not special or new. The one thing I want you to know is wholesaling has been going on for hundreds of years. All right. And so we have a lot of old books on wholesaling real estate because you did not get started wholesaling 3 years ago like most YouTubers. So we actually have data from decades and decades and decades and government lists that we started pulling, amazing results because no other wholesaler did there. And I will argue there's probably more government lists available than there are paid lists for most wholesalers. If you take out high equity, which is basically everyone, if you take out high equity, you will... If you take out high equity and vacant, which is the most, pretty much most properties are like that. If you take out those two, government lists are the third biggest list possible.
You want to hear a fun fact? If you go to Washington, D.C., I think it's the Smithsonian.
American History Museum.
They have a tribute to one of the first colonizers, settlers that went around town to town and flipped property via selling the contract. Amazing. I don't have the year. I'll post it for you.
It was on Elm Street in Massachusetts, I believe. And it's in the Smithsonian American History. If you ever been there, when you go inside the American History Museum, the Museum of American History, you go in there, it's like a house. There's literally a house inside of the museum and it's from the 1700s. It's amazing. It's by the Revolutionary War section. I've been to Smithsonian a lot.
Yeah.
I could tell you, they talk about a guy that was selling contracts. We actually have the picture. We got to post it.
It's really amazing, guys. 1700. So I love when people go, oh, I invented wholesaling or it's wholesaling 2.0. Dude, it's probably done well before then as well.
Exactly. So what I mean by this is there's more government lists than pretty much any other paid list out here.
You probably use government lists.
So this isn't a secret, okay? But why is government lists a secret? Number one, gurus don't talk about this list. We're the only ones who ever talk about it. We're not a guru. So why do gurus don't talk about this list? Number one, they only know one way to wholesale because they started wholesaling 3-4 years ago. Okay. They learned from their guru and just, it's a weird guru cycle. Number two, they can't give us credit for it because they would have to let their ego go and say, you know what? Zach and Rick are actually right. You know, they've been wholesaling for decades longer than me combined, and they know something that I don't, and everyone's getting success with it. Nope. They refuse. Okay. The ego gets away. Number C, most important part, they can't make money off of you. There is zero way I can make money off of you from going actually out here and you pulling a government list. Now you get a deal, you send the deal with me, JV. Yeah, I can make some money. But I'm just telling you the truth. But outside of that, they can't make an affiliate link off of you. They can't do anything. So that's a big problem for most gurus. So they won't mention it at all. So I'm letting you guys know why government lists are a big secret. And so let's share right now exactly, okay, the exact difference and thing of why government lists work so well. Most importantly, wholesalers aren't going after it. They're super motivated and it's amazing. So let's break down the types of government lists and how to pull them. Before we do that, I want you to explain something. When we go pull a government list in person or we call them up, you need to come from this perspective. This is going to be the biggest issue you're going to have. And this is what we want to talk about first and foremost. Explain that you are a private tax-paying citizen doing independent research. That is your script for pulling government lists.
It's true.
Screenshot it. Write it down. No, I want to go say I'm a real estate investor providing cash solutions. Don't do that. Okay. Screw it. Don't do that. Okay. These are government employees we're talking about. We're pulling from the government. They do what they feel like is right. They don't feel like with the law that they're government workers. They don't want to work extra harder. And if you come out and say, hey, I'm a private taxpaying citizen, which you are, if you live in the United States, you're a private taxpaying citizen. Heck, if you bought a crayon, you had to pay sales tax, so you're a taxpaying citizen. even if you don't own real estate, and you are privy to a lot of this information. And so what I want you guys to understand about this is you have a right to this information as a full-fledged American, or if you're not American, you can go find someone in the comments to go pull it with you, and you can find an American, okay? But what I mean by this is you're doing private independent research. They have to give you this list. Now, it's not – some laws are weird where it's a little harder to get it, but for most lists you can. But they're all going to ask you why. If you say you're a real estate investor, these people hate real estate. They hate capital. Don't like the capitalism society. Investor has a bad connotation. They will say in their mind, I don't want to deal with you. And they're just going to not ignore you. But if you say you're a private tax paying citizen doing independent research, that will give you the best chance of getting the deal. So let's break it all down. So the first type of list we were talking about are the code violations.
Love this list.
I've said all these words so many times. In bottom right-hand corner, if you actually want to watch me pull these lists live and actually have it edited down from the media team and we post the videos for you, it is all in freelancing.com, FYI. So code violations. What is a code violation? A code violation basically occurs when a rule, regulation, or guideline known as codes are not followed in a city or county. What you probably don't know is your city or county has specific codes. One example part is you have to maintain your grass if you own a piece of real estate that's residential. That's how the code in the city works. They want to make it look nice, but like you can't have tall grass. You can't, and you also can't have your roof caving in because it's actually a safety hazard. Now, that's just how the law works in most cities and counties. And if you don't maintain your property the right way, you can actually be in violation of the city's code and they can actually levy a fine for you. And so code enforcement, they levy a $10 to $50 a day fine for not fixing that code violation, right?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Guys, there's a lot of little technicalities on it, but I'll give you an example. I've had multiple properties where a $10 or $15 violation per day went up between $10,000 and $30,000. Yep. Here's the crazy part. They cut the grass, but it's on the omens of the homeowner to call the city to have someone come out, inspect it, and make sure they sign off on the violation. And if you don't do it, they just let it run up. So a lot of technicalities. You'll find a lot of probate properties within code violations because people forget to cut the grass. And a lot of people cut the grass. They're out of town. It's a probate. They forgot to call the city, and the city just runs it up. And if 3 or 5 years go by, I've seen 10, 20, 30,000 just for one person who didn't cut the grass. And that's where we come in and solve problems for people. That's why we love these government lists, especially code violations, because wherever there's smoke, there's fire. Remember, you're looking for the most motivated sellers. This, in my opinion, is your direct path to do it.
Yeah. And so the reason why I love code violations so much is code enforcement will literally go inside of their car and drive around town and look for ugly looking houses. And
so do Karens.
And if the code enforcement officer, remember there's 4 or 5 of them driving around the city, find that the house is not during code, which means it's ugly pretty much, they'll put it on a list like Santa Claus and they'll start finding people, which makes them more motivated if they don't have money. And then you can go to Santa Claus here, code violation, and ask for the list and they'll just give you the list. Crazy. On top of that, Karens. Now, I love people named Karen. I'm not making fun of you guys. But older neighbors, usually, if they think their neighbor has a property that's an eyesore to the community, they will call code enforcement and say, this person's not cutting their grass. Give a fine to them. It is an eyesore to my community.
I've seen them measure the grass with a ruler. Yep. Send a picture and send it to code enforcement.
And so they'll call code enforcement.
That's how nitpicky it gets sometimes.
They'll call code enforcement and then code enforcement will go out and say, yeah, this is against, and they'll put it on their special Santa Claus list.
Let's not call them Karens. We'll call them nightmare neighbors.
Nightmare neighbors. But I literally.
So I've had a few.
You got like a Santa Claus type guy, and they're all sitting in code enforcement office right now with a special list of ugly houses. You probably didn't know about that. Every single guru don't want to tell you that, but it's absolutely true. So let's tell you how to pull these type of lists, okay? And remember, these people are getting $4,000 or $5,000 fines. Insane. On top of that, you can negotiate these fines down because these fines are really stupid. So you can actually help a seller out, which other realtors actually can't. So it's pretty cool. So how to pull the code violation list. Number one, go to your local county's code enforcement office. They're sometimes called neighborhood services, and request a copy of all open code violations for the past 30 days of specifically tall grass violations. Number two, structural damage. Number three, mold or mildew. Mm-hmm. And I'll just do these three for now. And then ask only for residential houses. They'll do it for corporations and commercial properties and things like that. That's how you, it's really not that complicated. Go to the local code enforcement office and do it. Now, one thing I do want to let everybody know, this is a quick tip because unfortunately we have to say this because we're the only people that talk about code violations here. Apparently there are two types of code violations. You might not know this. There are the city has their own code enforcement and then the county.
Yeah.
So for example, let's talk about Miami. There is a City of Miami code enforcement that will do enforcement only for the City of Miami. Mm-hmm. And then there's a Miami-Dade County code enforcement, which will do places outside the City of Miami. And they both will go drive and they both will go out here and have their own departments, which they both have special lists. So what does this mean? This basically means that we have two places in our city that we live in that we can actually get these type of leads. Amazing. I love it. And so the next one here are the water shutoffs. And the water shutoffs are pretty self-explanatory. This is a list of all houses and homes that have the water not on, aka shut off on the property. That's
self-explanatory.
Pretty much it. I'll tell you this, no running water means no fun. All right. I mean, your toilets ain't gonna work. You ain't gonna take a shower. I mean, it's
hard to live in the property.
It's pretty tough living. Okay. Like you don't want to be doing that. All right. And so basically, this is a list of people who got their water bill shut. They're basically their water shut off for non paying their utility bill. Pretty much it. And usually the lights not even on the house too. And so it's rough. It's not a good way to live. And most people are motivated to sell their property.
I've seen people in these scenarios where they have extension cords running from the neighbor's house.
Def.
And sometimes the neighbor doesn't know about it because it's an outdoor outlet.
And sometimes the neighbor's us. Remember that house in Fort Pierce?
Yeah, you got the problems, guy, dude. You're running extension cords neighbor to neighbor.
We had a flipper doing and the neighbor connected our hose into his place so he could get free.
No, I'm used to that. And then instead of borrowing eggs, you know, flour and sugar, can I borrow a little electricity, a little bit of water so I can move on with life?
Don't get me started on that. But how to pull the water shutoff list. Pretty simple. Go to your local utility department. So it's the city's utility department or the county utility, you know, Harris County utility, whatever it's called. Maybe it's called the water authority. Now, the one thing you have to understand here is you got to make sure that these are government owned. So I'm calling these government lists. They have to be done from the government. If they're not from the government, they're a private corporation. They actually have a right not to give it to you. But if it's the government, they do have a right to give it to you. Just FYI. Request a list of all properties that have had the water shut off due to non-payment. And the house currently right now has no water service because they did not pay the bill. That's specifically what we're going to ask for. Not if the password is just all properties that have not the water running on it.
Yeah. And so a lot of people ask me, they go, Rick, how can somebody have their water shut off? You got to understand, like, especially so in like Florida, we have a lot of small cities. Some of them require a $400 and $500 deposit to even turn your water back on. So it's not as simple if they have a $30 or $50 water bill. It's like they got to come up with a ton of money and it becomes really problematic. So understanding when you get shut off all the fees, the deposits, you got to restart, and then you're considered high risk. That's why it becomes a problem for the individual homeowner.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys, it's insane. All right. And so next one here is fire damage properties. This is not, guys, I tell you, these lists can go on and on and on. So there's never a thing that's going to stop you. Okay. And so also, actually, I want to say one thing about the water shutoff list. There are some states that have like laws. So there's some states that have laws where we can't give you the water list. And then everyone says, okay, I'm just going to give up. People do it. So in Texas, they have some weird, I think, law against, not governmentless specifically, but for water shutoffs. And everyone just gives up. Okay, I'm just going to give up. That's what they all do. And I'm like, don't give up. That means the list is actually harder to get.
Yeah.
So tell me.
Tips on that is you can't run people over. Like, if you treat them like trash and you try to run them over and be aggressive, it's an instant you will never get the list. So you have to overcome resistance with persistence.
Well, for water shutoffs in Texas, you can't do that.
Well,
they have a law. So it's a law. So the way around that law is you need to go for the utility liens. So yeah, they might, I can't give you utility list. Ha 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 ha. All you got to do is ask, can you give me a list of all the liens you put on people? And they're like, dang it. Because liens have to be public.
They're public.
They have to be public. So that's kind of the way around him. Just FYI, if you can't get the water shut off, let's do the leans. Forgot to mention that, but yeah, it's very important. So yeah, sometimes resistance does overcome persistence, but when there's a law and they say it's a law, we can't do it, you can go around the back door with it. And so that's just one way to do it. Now, the fire damage properties list. This is a great list. This is a list of all houses that got called basically on the fire department and they basically went to the property. Okay. So this is a list of people that their house went on fire. And you might be asking yourself, oh, the house is burned to a crisp. We can't wholesale it, right?
My wife almost put me on that list when I first got married.
I'm telling you.
She did. She sent me to the ER, but she's fine.
So what I want to let you guys know is when people hear that a property went on fire, everyone thinks that the house is done. We can't wholesale it. I think 80% of all home fires in the United States, they're not like everyone imagines the whole place just gets burned to the ground to a crisp. No, fire department's really good at what they do. Okay, just letting you know, like they're very good professionals at it. Most fires are in the kitchen and in the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So hair dryers, ovens, stoves, whatever, right?
Toasters.
Toasters too. So most people, when there's a fire, fire department comes, they take it and the kitchen's probably ruined, but the rest of the house is fine. I'm just letting you know when the insurance comes to get the product, they're like, okay, we just got bulldozed the house, the kitchen's. No, they're just going to give you money for the kitchen. That's basically how it works. And so what you have to know is, yeah, the property, they get their insurance check and now they have a messed up house and they can just sell it. And if the house is burnt to a crisp, which a lot of properties are sometimes like that, unfortunately, guess what? They could still sell it for land value and they already got their check for the whole house.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's kind of a win-win for them.
Yeah, it's just a different type of cash buyer that buys that property. But remember, wherever there's opportunity, there's always somebody willing to make an investment in it. And that's where we provide value. We help the homeowner out. We help the new cash buyer out. They make a profit on it and we all make a profit. It's a win-win-win.
Yeah. So guys, I mean, you probably never even thought about doing that list, but heck, I got to come out here again and just show you another list that you guys haven't heard of again. So how do you pull this list? I mean, I think you guys are getting a very simple like pattern that we tell you about a list and how do you pull it? You go to the government agency that is basically associated with that type of list and you just ask for it. That's it. So you go to local fire department and you request for a list of all the houses that get calls on in the past month. So can I get a list of all the houses that the fire department went on calls? Even if they're a tiny little fire, I'm telling you, they're amazing. Okay. I love it. All right?
Be nice to your fire departments. These are people that actually do a job.
They save lives.
That we wouldn't, like a lot of us wouldn't do. So like you got to kill them with kindness. You can be persistent, but like don't try to run them over. It's not cool, dude.
Yeah, trust me.
Give me your fire list now. You can't.
You can't do that. And so next one here is the arrest records list. Okay. So this is a list of all the arrests for your county or the city. And you might be like, oh, I could never deal with these criminals. I would never want to deal with them. Okay, do that. But there's, I want to let you guys know, not every single person that gets arrested is for like a crazy crime. All right. This isn't, you know, like some serial attack type thing. Like, this isn't that. I just want you guys to know that not every person that gets arrested is like this crazy, insane, like unforgivable crime. Most arrests are for, unfortunately, drunk driving, right? Mm-hmm. Some people do hit and runs, which are not good. Theft. Like, I mean, most arrests aren't like these crazy, massive crimes where you go to jail for like 120 years. Now, there are them. I get it. You know, but like most people that get arrested, they're not like these insane, hardened criminals that's like very dangerous to be around. And these people, they are human beings too, and they are still citizens of the United States, even if they get arrested. And in the United States, I truly believe everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And so you got to give people the benefit of the doubt until they're proven guilty in a court of law. Now, what I mean by this is when people get arrested, and I will let me give you the top example of this, of a non-violent crime. I don't want to wholesale properties that have like crazy, like, you know, very, very violent crime. Like, I'm not telling you to do that, but
I've done
that. Most of them are, I've had to deal with that too, are like DUIs. Okay. People
most,
have problems.
Most common, hands down, DUIs.
So
multiple offenses.
And when you're at like three or four offenses, you go to jail for like 1 to 2 years. And it's terrible. I think DUIs are probably one of the most unforgivable crimes. It's terrible. You put a lot of people's lives on the risk. People lose their lives. It's terrible. I don't agree with it. It's a crime. And yes. And these people are, they're paying their debt to society. Now, these people are still people too, and they still have houses. When they go to jail for 2 to 3 years, the house has to still have their mortgage paid, right? Mm-hmm. The taxes, the government still wants their money. Okay. The bank still wants their money. They still have obligations on mortgages. And usually when they have to go to jail for 2 to 3 years, they just want to sell the house because they're gonna have to pay for lawyers. Unfortunately, they can't. Sometimes we've had this a lot where it's like a DUI and the people, I'm innocent. I'm like, you, the breathalyzer's at 2.0. Okay. Like, come on.
It's your third arrest. This is your like, third arrest. I'm not here to judge you. We just always focus on the house. And like, that's what you want to do.
But here's
them.
The problem. They think they're going to be innocent. And then when they go to like the full court and they're like, you seriously didn't take the plea. Like, you're 2.0. Yeah. You're found guilty. And you're like, oh, I got found guilty. I'm going to jail now. After the third offense. And they're like, you have 15 days, report to jail. Yeah. And they're like, 15 days? And then the lawyer's like, here's your bill. And like, oh my gosh, I got 15 days. I need to pay this up and I got to get rid of this property.
Sometimes you get detained right there in court.
Sometimes you get detained right there in court. And it's like, oh shoot, what do I do, right? And we are not here to force people to sell their property, none of these things. But this is situations where people would want to cash off for the house and just get rid of it.
And guys, I'll give you a disclaimer here. Do not do subject to... with someone going to jail.
No.
They will,
because when they come out of jail,
they'll come out, they'll move right, they'll go right to that house. Oh, I'm just telling you, it is not good business. They love to hear it because they get money that, and then like they don't want to sign the deed over. Do not do a subject to or a creative deal with someone going to jail for any length of time. It is going to blow up on you.
No, and so like one thing I let you guys know is that's not every situation, but a lot of big deals we've done have in those situations. And so most wholesalers feel like they're just above doing the arrest record lists, right? And I know plenty of people that are adults that, yes, they went to jail. They are felons, but they changed their life around and they're still good people and they paid their debt to society. They're not like, we can't look down on every single person that gets arrested because a big proportion of, if you look at big, like, so you can still wholesale these homes. No wholesalers are going after these properties. And these are people that you don't have to force them to sign something.
Yeah.
But you can just ask like, hey, I'm looking to buy a couple of houses. And you have to say, I saw you got arrested. Let me buy your house. No, yeah. You say, hey, are you the owner and are you looking to sell it? You casually mention it and you see if they want to sell their house. Nobody ever does this. And it's actually one of the easiest lists to pull. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever wants to wholesale these type of homes.
Now you do get more drama with these lists. I'm just giving you the honest truth, but they are high profit deals when they work out because there is a deadline of motivation. And sometimes they push you to the limit, but it's not like a foreclosure. Either you get the deal or you're not. Foreclosure, if you don't get it, it goes to a public auction and no, you have nothing to do with it. There's a little bit different on it. So
the only type of case I will let everybody know that you can't wholesale are RICO arrests. If someone gets arrested for a RICO crime or from the federal government,
Don't waste your time.
Outside of that, that's pretty much it. And so
then you're going to be named in the lawsuit.
We've actually been on a contract people on death row. So like we've, and they're away and we're pretty safe.
Anybody who's involved in like a RICO or like a Ponzi scheme, their motivation's through the roof because they're trying to move money as fast as they can. If it doesn't sound right or way too good to be true, understanding you do not want to be part of that. So yes, you run it through title, but if you know it and you take on that deal, you're going to lose your money or your cash buyer is going to wind up suing you. So I've had more than I care to tell you of how many deals. Why? Because their motivation was through the roof. They needed a wholesaler, but thank God the title company helped me sniff it out. And all of you are going to use a title company anyway. So don't lose sleep about it. But if they tell you it, just go, listen, have a nice day. I wish you the best. Maybe refer them to a realtor because that's even a realtor is at risk taking that listing.
Yeah. And so you have title companies. You won't get in trouble. Like you won't get any legal trouble if you use a title company with lawyers. Like you're fine. I'm just telling you guys, this is a great list though. And I highly recommend it. So this is a list of all people that got arrested for a city or county. Now, all you want to do is basically find online the sheriff's website or request in person a list of all the arrests for the past 7 to 14 days. Let's just do very recent ones starting out. And the one thing I want to let you know about government lists is it's like you don't pull all the arrests. You want to make sure you want to get all the arrests, but you also want to make sure these people that got arrested own real estate. Now, a lot of these people that get arrested, they don't own real estate. So that's stupid to go after them. So there might be 100 arrests over the weekend for like stupid stuff, and probably 20 of them will own real estate. So you only have to call those 20 and that's it. Like same thing with a lot of government lists. You want to make sure they own real estate.
And guys, do not look at their mugshot and make a determination if you're going to call them. They're getting caught on their worst time at the worst day. Do not look at mugshots and decide if you're going to call them or not. It doesn't work that way.
Don't judge a book by its cover. So I remember one deal we did. This was a $30,000 code violation deal. This is just another deal I'm just giving you guys stories on. I was very freaked out because this was when I was very young into wholesaling and very new. And I looked up the guy and...
Did you get old or something?
I'm an old man now. Okay. But I looked up the guy and when I was going on appointments myself, I was young. I was like 19 at this time. I still looked up the sellers just to make sure I was safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like no murderers or anything like that, you know. And I looked up this guy and he's gone to jail 4 or 5 times for like physical assault. And I was like, oh, this isn't good. And I was a little freaked out going there myself. But I'll tell you, I made $30,000. The guy was very nice, very sweet. I made sure the door was unlocked. It was very risky for me to do, obviously, as a 19-year-old by myself. But I made $30,000 on the deal. And he's just a regular, I mean, face tats. But like, it didn't matter. Yeah, like, okay. the guy had a situation.
You have to have common sense when you go visit any seller.
I sent my location to everyone. I said, just make sure I'm good. But like I, obviously, if I was probably, you know, if I think about my sister, I probably wouldn't want her to go there.
Realtors have to deal with this all the time. But that's a real threat.
I was willing. I'm not calling this person a dangerous individual, but like, I would probably not be comfortable my mom or my sister being there.
Yeah.
Now, me, I'm willing to do it for the money. I was 19. I'm still like, you know, 30 grand is 30 grand. And if I felt uncomfortable, I was going to leave the situation. Now, I'm not telling most people would probably do that, but there are a select few down here that will take that risk. And I'm not telling you what to do legally or anything, but these are still human beings with human problems. And we got the deal done. And yeah. So I've had
probably a half dozen times where I'm like, man, I am not comfortable walking into this house. So basic tips, go in the middle of the day. Don't go at night. If you don't feel safe in the neighborhood, you got to ask yourself, should I really be doing it? I did Fort Pierce for a long time and decided after my back windshield got broke, I wasn't going to do it. But I did have one person. I walked up to the windows, tinfoil on every window. He had a van in the garage with wood over all the windows. And when I went in, he shut the door and unlocked it. I said, unlock. Open that door, and then I took the discussion outside on the public street. You've got to have a comment. If it starts to seem uncomfortable, be smart. So I always look for exit signs. I spend a lot of time in sellers' homes, but I'm just telling you, just be smart. If you feel uncomfortable, bring somebody with you or just negotiate over the phone. We're in different times, guys. I used to go in blindly. We're in a different world now. Yeah. So just you see tinfoil on the windows and boarded up windows of a white van in the garage, run. I'm telling you. And when someone locks the door, run.
So I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just giving you guys
it's the truth. So that wasn't an arrest record either. That was a normal deal.
No. So so I'm just letting everybody know the arrest records does have a little more risk, but it is a listed. Make sure they own real estate. Now, next one is what we call the tax liens and the tax delinquency list. This is basically a list of all homeowners that are behind on their property tax payments for the past 12 months, sometimes for the past years. It doesn't really matter. So what's the biggest difference between a tax lien and a tax delinquency? So I own a piece of real estate. Let me use examples. Let's use like Tennessee, for example. If I don't pay my tax bill for a year, so every year, basically, you know, November or something, you have to pay your tax bill for the year. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's $4,000 or $5,000 if it's a cheaper piece of real estate. And, you know, $4,000 or $5,000, that's the year. And I got to pay my property tax every single year, all at once usually, right? So maybe if a situation happens and I can't pay it, guess what happens? Nothing. Like everyone thinks, you know, November 1st, it's owed. November 2nd, you don't pay the bill. Kicked out, jail. No, it doesn't work like that, okay? What happens is a month later, you're going to get a friendly letter from the property appraiser say, you need to pay your property tax.
It changes color too.
And, yeah, it gets a little scary. And you are considered after November 1st, whatever month it is, that it's owed.
Usually every state's a little bit different.
Sometimes it's twice a year you pay it, whatever it is. But basically, you're considered tax delinquent. You are behind on your taxes. Now, they don't put a lien because putting a lien on a property does actually cost money and it's a little harder to do. And so usually after a year or two, you're still considered delinquent. All right. Like you're still considered delinquent. Now, after year three, the government's like, all right, this guy's not giving us our list. Here's a lien. We put a lien on the house. So whenever it's sold, we get our money. And unfortunately, that's how they do it, right?
Yeah. We're just giving you the layman's terms.
Well, they have
a tax certificate sale, and then
some of them do.
But remember, a property taxes are always in the first line position. They don't even have to put a lien on it because you can't sell the property until you pay that tax.
So just letting everybody know, when I tell you to pull a tax delinquency list, that's somebody that's they've just stopped paying this year or the past 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and there haven't been a lien on the house. Once there's a lien on the house, that person has been paying for a while. And so the tax lien list and the delinquency, there's new ones every single month. But I just want you guys to know when it's a lien, someone's been doing it for a while. And if it's delinquency, it's just very... Now, what's the better one? Delinquency is better because it's fresher and mm-hmm. most people still aren't willing to do it. Now, the tax delinquency list, it's not like a simple list I can click a button for. It's actually a hard government list to get. It's a upper ranked government list, if you will. And this is a list that a little more difficult to do, but still it's worth it. Now, how do you pull the tax delinquency, tax lien list? Basically, for the liens, you go to public record and you search for all liens, and then you find that the county's clerk of the court, basically, they put it on. So it's like the city of Miami put a lien on, you know, Jose Martinez. The city of Miami has a lien on a guy for a piece of real estate. That's usually a property, right? Now, for the delinquencies, it's not public record. You have to go to the property appraiser or the property tax or... there's different government agencies for it, but basically you ask, hey, can I get a list of all the people that are behind on paying their property taxes? And you'll be shocked. Most government agencies are like, yeah, let's lambaste this person. Let's embarrass them because they want their money. Money, 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 money. That's all they care about. And so they'll actually be very straightforward with you. Now, this is actually, I don't know if this is against privacy and stuff. For example, if you found any of my rental properties, you could look up, this is embarrassing, my property on the property appraiser, and it'll tell you if that tax bill got paid or not.
Yeah,
and if I didn't pay it, you'll know that I'm a broke guru. There's some gurus that haven't paid the property taxes. It's weird, but like I can look up any address and see if the property bill, how much they pay in taxes and if it got paid or not.
Yeah, and guys, just so you know, some very wealthy people use delinquent property taxes to manage their finances. I'm talking about people with $100,000 bills. They'll wait till the last minute just because they get flows of cash. And once you get the list, you figure out how to sort those types out because you need to target properties within the price points that you're buying. But do you know who's number one on the tax delinquency list? This is a great trivia question.
Banks?
It's the county.
Oh, yeah.
Because when a property goes to auction and it reverts back to the county, they don't pay the taxes on it. So they actually go on the list. You have to filter those properties off. Yeah. That means absolutely nobody wants them. They're usually vacant land that you can't even build on.
Yeah. So you just got to be careful there. And then the biggest risk on tax delinquencies and liens are states that have what we call redemption periods. And what do I mean by redemption periods? That's redemption periods are, let me actually get the list of it, but explain what a redemption period is.
The homeowner has the ability in a certain time frame that state, it's either state or county, it's usually state, and they have the right to buy the property back. So it's like sometimes it's 2 years, sometimes it's 1 year, sometimes it's 6 months. Florida doesn't have those, but like there's a lot of states out there, and you just got to be careful. Once again, guys, research your state laws where you're doing wholesaling and understand what you're doing, because there's certain things. If go, why is nobody buying this property? Why is nobody doing it? It's probably because there's a reason. And there's certain sellers that will actually use this loophole to basically finance their properties and take advantage of the situation. I don't want anyone to be foreclosed on. I think it's usually a bank issue, but every now and then it is property taxes.
It's a sneaky way for the government to get their money. So basically what redemption period is basically when the property gets auctioned on tax deed sale, the person can actually pay everything back in full and get it after a year or two, which is kind of weird because it's like
it's complicated. Like, what do you do with the person that's living in the house? It's occupied.
Here's the problem: if I buy it, I put $50,000 to renovate it, and the guy gets it back, I'm screwed, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of have to keep the property ugly.
And a lot of people keep them vacant and they just sit on it for a year or two.
If they redeem it, the person that got the tax deed could probably make 20-25%. So it's pretty much a win-win.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful, like wholesaling those type of houses, but we're not wholesaling them, right? We're not dealing with tax deed properties.
And I don't think you can get a clear title on them until that redemption right is over.
And so we're not going to invest in them at all, but I want you guys to know that's how the law works in a lot of places. But just FYI, if a seller says, "I'm just I'm gonna let the property get off and then I'm gonna buy it back," you can't be like, they can theoretically, but it's very expensive to do. And so we want to do it before the tax deed sale is. And it's very embarrassing to go through a tax deed sale. Like, it's very, public.
You
want to
talk about some traffic around your house?
Yeah.
You'll have 15 people walk in the house every day.
So just FYI, that just how those laws. And we just want to give you guys as much information as possible. Now, next one here is, this is basically the pre-foreclosures. What's a pre-foreclosure? This is one we talk about forever. This is probably the most easiest list to get. But this is a list of all homeowners who are behind at least one to two mortgage payments, sometimes three, and they are potentially facing a foreclosure. And if they don't pay the property, the bank's going to foreclose on the property. So how do you actually pull a list like this? It's pretty simple. You go to the public records online and you search for the list pendences or the notice of default sections. Usually every government agency has this.
NOD, they call them too.
NOD, they call them nods. So like, what's a pre-nod? I'm not trying to give you all lingo, but like that's a way to do it. And basically it's a list of people that are just behind on their mortgages. Most wholesalers go after it. A lot of realtors sometimes go after it, but mostly wholesalers. And really what I could tell you is this is a great wholesaling list. And you just got to find people that have basically those notice of defaults on it. And usually it's a bank that has it on. And it's usually a properties associate. They're great lists. You go to freelancing.com. We kind of talk about a little more. You got to learn how to do it the right way. I have about an hour presentation on just pre-foreclosures. I recommend go to freeholsting.com to learn exactly about. But it's a great list. It's free. Next one's liens. So I don't think I talked about liens specifically, right? I talk about tax liens. But a lien is basically when they have a court action to levy a certain amount on someone. Now, that's not the perfect definition, I know, but you know, just as a beginner, it's the one you have to understand is like you have to get a judgment for an amount that is owed on someone and they put it against the property, which basically this is the biggest question, like how do liens work? So let's say, for example, you buy someone's house for $100,000 and they got no mortgage on it, but there's a $5,000 tax lien. How does it work? People flip out. They're like, oh my gosh, what do we do, right? We kind of talked about this in day one of the 30-day wholesaling challenge, but like what you have to understand how to deal with it is basically what happens is you have it on contract for 100. And when they go with the cash buyer, let's say you assign it for 120. Basically what happens is the cash buyer gives 120,000 to the title company. 20,000 goes to you for the assignment.
Yay!
5,000 gets paid to the tax bill. And then $95,000 goes to the seller. That's how it works. And so liens, don't freak out that somebody owns a lien that's going to change everything. As a beginner, I know it was a lot for me. But what I can tell you is not that complicated. So we just want to get a list of all these judgments that are on properties. And judgments can be for a lot of things. You don't pay your federal taxes, your state taxes, your credit cards, everything. So this is a list of all homeowners and people behind on their federal tax payments from the IRS, from the state revenue services. They don't pay their credit card bills, their taxes, and just so much more. And so there's mechanics liens, if you sign contracts, there's a lot. Okay, so basically a lien list, that's what it is. And so it's just a list of all homeowners and people behind on their federal taxes. And so the question here is, how do you pull this list? Liens are actually pretty easy to get, right? You just go to public records and you search for all the liens and then you can go on there and just pop it up. For a credit card debt lien list and stuff like that, you want to make sure the person owns real estate, they're behind on their federal taxes. You want to make sure they own real estate. But as long as they own real estate, you're pretty much good to go, okay? And so we're going to go a little faster on this, but like this is the divorce list, right? So this is a list of all the divorce filings basically for your county. People, you know, get a divorce, not good. But this is not my favorite list to do. It's a decent one to market to, but it's not the best one. And so how do you pull this one? Pretty standard.
A lot of drama.
Yeah, a lot of drama. You go to public records. There's usually divorce filings that are public and you just basically can go from there, confirm the parties own real estate and then call them up, see if they want to sell the property, right? Next here, your favorite one, probates.
Nah, it's.
What is a probate in your mind? What is it?
Well, the only thing that matters is in the government minds. It is a process. Hey, I'm going to give you the layman's terms because the legal definition sucks. Basically, when somebody passes away and they own real property, real assets, cars, boats, houses, checking accounts, savings accounts, bonds, stocks, you can't transfer that property because a dead person cannot transfer a deed, a title, registration, anything like that. So what they do is they create a court system. It's basically probate, where basically they appoint somebody within the court system, usually what they call a PR, stands for personal representative, or an executor, depending on what state you're in. And that person is either designated in the will, and then they apply to become the PR. The court approves it. You can ask a lawyer how all that works. I could care less. And then that person basically enters into the legal authority of the deceased person. They can enter into contracts like real estate for this specific purpose. And then basically when a buyer and seller agree on a price, the court just makes sure you had the right parties involved. Now, for the most part, most states do not care what the property is sold for. I've only been questioned twice on a probate, and it's because the property had so many repairs. The judge is like, that's fine. He just asked for a contractor's bid on it, two of them. That's it. And then you sell it. Why are these lists so great? Because it is a problem when people take over these properties. Sometimes they're unexpected. Sometimes they're elderly people and they're expected. And good families take care of their elders and their family, do not focus on taking care of the property. And then when they pass away, then the property needs to be updated. Grandma's house is 30 years updated. It's too much time. It's too much money. They don't want to take care of the bills. So they create the system where they can sell the property. Once the PR has the legal authority, they can meet with someone like myself. We agree on a price. They go, listen, I just want to get rid of it. And we move on. Sometimes they keep it and they transfer the title in their name, or they can actually sell it with a realtor. We're looking for the properties that are run down, that need love, and are never going to pass any type of realtor inspection. This is your highest profit government list. Hands down, I have proven it over the last 10 years. If you don't attack this list, you're missing out on a big part of wholesaling. Now, these lists are simple. They're not simple to get. You're going to have to earn the list and you're going to have to be patient. But once you have these lists, they're not overwhelming. Most counties are 50 to 80 leads a month. And we teach you how to mail to them. We teach you how to warm call them. And it's real simple. Go over to freewholesaling.com if you want to learn more how to do it.
That's exactly how to do it. So specifically,
that was my express speech on probates.
I can tell you this, okay? Probates. Why do I always say the... If you look up which government list you say the most, we say it's called probate. You're probably sick of me hearing the word probate from me. And why do we say probate so much? Because probates get money, okay? Guys, there's not been one list that I have. Every 100K deal I always do, always a probate, because they have the most motivation. Yeah. And you get paid in this business for the amount of problems you solve. And probates have the biggest problems. They have the biggest title issues. You got a ton of heirs. It's a lot of work. But guess what? If you go to freewholesaling.com, you see people, like, you see the testimonials. You see it. There's kids out here making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
We had one for 73 grand.
We had one for 73 grand.
His first deal.
We had one 50 grand first deal. These are all, like, I mean, I wouldn't consider Jason a kid. But, like, I mean, like, there's some young guns out here making $40,000, $50,000 their first deal. They're making 3 years' salary on one probate deal, 73 grand.
They all have the same thing in common. They're probates. Guys,
probates.
I didn't do them the first 7 years of my wholesaling business, and it's probably one of my biggest regrets to date. So once you figure it out, once you figure out how to get the list, it does take some time. It's pretty much automated. And honestly, you can do it while you have a full-time job because it's easy. It's not a huge list. You don't need complicated dialers, and you just talk to people. And the biggest skill set I teach you in probates is use your ears much more than your mouth and let people vent and let them tell your problems. They'll open up to you and you can build an amazing relationship with them.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about how to actually go out here. So what's our definition of probate? Basically, it's a list of probates, basically a list of court records of the process to deal with a person's will, estate, property, and others. Probates can be for like anything. So I might have a $40,000 401k, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's they don't own property. We don't want to deal with that, but correct. That's basically how it works. Okay. So how do you pull the probate list? Pretty simple. I'm going to give you a quick run through and I'll go through what you imagine, because there's multiple ways to do it, but basically a probate list, you go to public records online and you search all the probate filings, and you basically go out to the public records, click at the court and find the filings. And where you're going to find with these filings is there's going to be the estate of someone that passed away. And there's going to be these things called PRs, representatives. There's going to be heirs and all these things. And you just want to make sure the party is talking about real estate. Now, we're not getting a full thing today because we are doing a full probate thing for 30-day whole selling challenge. But yes. I'm going to lay it over really quick. Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to find people that unfortunately passed away. They filed the probate to get the action going. And there's going to be representatives to the person's estate, usually, or heirs to the property. We're just going to casually call these people up, send direct mail, whatever it's going to be, and see if they want to sell that piece of property. That's it. That's it. And if they want to sell, they want to sell. If they don't want to sell, it's too painful for them. That's okay. What I want to understand about probates, and because we talk about probates a lot. When someone passes away and they own a bunch of real estate, the probate isn't like filed that day. Okay. Sometimes the probate's filed 2 or 3 years after.
I've seen it 10 years.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know what. So if it's like you're being a grave chaser, what do they say?
No, it's
okay. Let me understand. When somebody files the probate,
they're ready.
They're ready to get the asset. Okay. Sometimes people are ready a week after. Some people need a year or two after, right? But what you need to understand here is once they file the probate, they're ready to go. Okay. Now there's things called pre-probates, which isn't a government list. We're not going to really talk about today.
Yeah.
People will call the obituaries. I am not going to.
Or you just find them on your own. Sometimes you find people where they never file the probate because they think it's too costly or too timely. And those are the best deals. But we'll talk about those later when we do our probate episode.
And so I'm just letting you guys know.
Got to tune in for that one.
Probates are amazing. Go off to pull it. Go to freelisting.com right now to learn how to pull it. Like, you can actually watch me go to the clerk of the court and just pull it like a ninja. Like, boop, 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 boop. Done. Easy. Yeah. So I actually have a video we have in freelisting.com. I called it probates and pre-foreclosures because they're both P's and it kind of rhymes. But I literally, push and pee. And so basically what I'm doing is I'm going, you don't know what that means, don't you?
What?
It's from a song.
All right. Way over my head.
All right. But basically that's what I thought was funny. I think I had gun in the background pushing pee when I was doing it, but that maybe that for another one. But basically what I did was I went online. People tell me, I need help with this county. I pulled the pre-foreclosures and probates and I just called them live. And I showed you my script and everything. It's in freelisting.com. It's amazing. All right. And so that's probates. Now, this is the biggest question. What if they don't give you the list?
Oh no.
Number one, you should panic. You should freak out.
Should run and hide.
You should run now. Okay.
Give up on wholesaling. I couldn't do it.
Guys, don't give up. Good. All right. I want you guys to know. Good. If they say no, we're not giving you the list, that means they said that to every wholesaler.
That's the Wolf of Wall Street speech, right?
Yeah. Good. And so what you have to understand about this is, let me tell you how the governments usually work. Now, we're not the biggest wholesaling YouTube channel. I think we're still pretty much under the radar for most real estate investors, which is nice, which means most people that do government lists.
Because we actually do wholesale.
It's not a big one, right?
Yeah.
But there's like 5 or 6 people in Houston that'll try to get this list. So that they're getting used to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll be shocked. You'll go to a government agency and ask for like a list of the probates or the liens. And they'd be like, no one's ever asked that before. That's how amazing this list is. But so let me just tell you, if someone says, no, we're not giving you that list. Like for code violations, we're not giving you that list. Most people say this. Okay. All right. I tried my best.
Yeah.
And then you go on a live stream and say, I can't get the code violations list. And then I'm not making fun of people, but every single day I get that on the streams. And I'm like, did you come back the next day? No.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Every other wannabe wholesaler that watches a guru and then they hear about the list and then they try to do it and they get said no, everyone just gives up. You are on the 30-day wholesaling challenge. You are someone that goes out here and does the work. You are somebody that doesn't take no for an answer because you are that type of person and you don't listen to no broke wholesaling guru. You come back the next day and guess what? You're getting a list that every other wholesaler doesn't get. Every guru student gets in there and they, okay, I'm going to give up. No, you come back the next day and you keep it up. And guess what I say before? The harder to get a list, the more motivated that list is going to be. So good. The harder it is to get the list, the better. Okay. Guess what? Explain again. I'm a tax-paying citizen doing independent research and I'm going to make it so annoying for you to get this list. Request to speak to a manager. Okay, be a
manager,
be an annoying neighbor. But I want you guys to understand with government lists, a lot of government agencies, you know, they hire someone $20 an hour to go to the be a receptionist or like the data manager. And they got out of college. They went to, you know, UC Boulder, and they feel like they understand the world. And then they get hired to do this, right? And they sit down, and someone comes up to me, and I say, "Can I have the code violation list?" They say, "No." Like, that's what they do. They have their nails. They're like, "No, I want to go listen to my Taylor Swift and talk to Karen at the water cooler about the last Selling Sunset episode," right? Like, I don't. They're government workers. They don't like to work hard. Okay, I'm just. I might get in trouble for saying that, but they don't want to work any harder than they have to. All right. They got lunch in 45 minutes. They have a nice tuna salad on rye. They're right. They got their rye. So,
hey, be careful. You're going to be featured on Y2Y if you keep that attitude.
So basically what I'm talking about this is they think they know everything. They just got hired 6 months ago, and they don't understand that the law, we have to actually give this information, but they're just going to say no because they feel they're the government workers. They want to feel some power in their lives. They don't have a lot of power outside of their life, so they feel like they can have power doing this. And most wholesalers will just give up. Guess what you're going to do? Hey, can I speak to your manager? And the manager has been working here for 10 years, and he actually knows the law.
Yeah.
And he's going to say, "Oh, why do you want the list?" And he's trying to see if you're going to sell the data, right? And you'll still get the list if you say you're a wholesaler. But if you say, "Hey, no, I'm a private taxpaying citizen doing independent research," but why do you want to get the research? Like, they're just keep questioning. I want to do my own data for code enforcement and violations, and I'm just looking up the agency.
Being persistent.
They're scared that they're going to get caught doing something bad. Cause I'll tell you, I don't know one government agency that doesn't like do something cutting corner with. Now, I'm not saying they're terrible, right? I'm not saying code enforcement, but like, maybe they got a call they didn't want to do it that day, and they don't want to get caught because maybe their job, their cushy government job, is going to be like in trouble. And so they're going to be very like offended and kind of hurt, like, "Oh no, is this guy investigating me?" That's how they don't think you're going to wholesale it, okay? And they're going to be like, "Oh, we can't give you that data." And then you're like, "Okay, well, I'm going to keep back tomorrow and I have information for it." And then they keep going, and you usually keep going. They're like, "Okay, this guy is so annoying. That is actually really annoying the snot out of me." And then they're going to keep saying no. It's like, "Okay, well, should I speak to the city attorney and get you, I don't want to get you in trouble here." "Oh, shoot, I'm at. Then they're going to realize, I actually have to give them this information or I might actually lose my job because I actually have to give them the info. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, "Okay, here it is. Boom. And what I want you to know is they will give you the list if you persistently go after it. Now, they might say, "Oh, this law, we can't give it to you." I want you to do something. You guys are very smart people. All right. You're not gurus. Gurus read a law about wholesaling and say, just banned. The whole thing's banned.
It's banned.
It's banned.
It's over.
And so
I quit.
And what I do on this channel is I actually read the law with you. And you guys are smart enough to understand that it says you can't publicly market for sale. It doesn't mean you can't wholesale. You just can't list the property on Zillow.
Which you shouldn't be doing anyways.
No. And so basically what these laws, there's sometimes law like, due to this law, you can't. So there's this law, recently someone sent it, it's called Marcy's Law or whatever. Basically what it was somebody's, a judge's family member passed away and they got very offended that it was public record. Ugh. And so basically if you're a judge in New Jersey, I believe, someone's probate information on a minor can't be disclosed publicly. And they say, because of that, we can't give you any probates. When you read the law, it says, no, you just can't give me the data on minors for judges and public officials.
Yeah.
So just take that out. And then they're like, "Oh, shoot, this person actually read the law." They're just trying to throw stuff at you and see which one makes you give up. And it's like, if you actually are smart individuals and you actually read the law, because you understand English, okay, just read the law and it will tell you. And so what I mean by this is don't give up, okay? Don't be a quitter, all right? I'm just telling you, speak to the manager and go after it. And worst case scenario, you can file what we call a Freedom of Information Act request, which basically that's worst case scenario. What's a FOIA basically?
It just basically, it would find that that state or county agency if they don't follow this. Now, the problem with FOIA, they can take up to a year to get. And honestly, I've made this threat before. Don't do it because it's not going to get you anywhere, because you'll never, even if you get the data one time, it'll be so dated by the time you get it, you'll never get it again. A lot of you guys are putting in the comments like, is it normal for these agencies to charge? Here's the loophole they do in the charge. If you just don't ask for the entire list and you're like, I need this list with these people in this amount of days. They call that a custom search. And then they have, they have a programmer on staff, and then they have the right to charge you whatever they think the hourly rate is. So try to get like the entire list. Sometimes that's a loophole around getting these people trying to charge you.
And they'll do, yeah.
They do it to discourage you. Yeah. So like, try not to give them an, like, hey, listen, it's not custom. Just hand me the entire list and I'll go away. And so when they try to charge you, they're trying to tell you, well, I have to take an employee off his regular job and customize a data search for you. And there's an hourly rate of like $100 an hour.
Or they'll say this, it's $5 a page for the information.
Yeah, per page. Because God forbid it costs that much per page.
Pages are, you know, paper is expensive these days.
Get it on one paper, like tiny print front and back, and so, we'll call it a day.
So we can do this too. Now, obviously you can pay for it. But like one thing you can do is, can you just send me the PDF? Because this is what they do. They create a PDF and then they click print. And they're like $5 per page for the printing expenses.
Yeah.
Can you just send me the PDF?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I guess I can. Yeah. And then they do that.
The old days, I used to bring a thumb drive. Don't ask for that anymore because they think you're going to install malware on their government computers.
Just email it to me. And then boom, cost so many email, and then they have to charge you the per page. Guys, I want you to understand that just if you are nice and courteous, you'll do well. One thing I want you guys to understand is you also have to listen to what we say. A lot of beginners out here are having struggles pulling probates. You know why? They will go to the clerk of the court. They'll say, give me all the list of the probates. And the guy person's like, what?
It's not McDonald's.
They say this, give me a list of all the probates.
Give me the number one meal.
And they're like, wait, what do you want? Give me a list of the probates. And then they're like, yeah. Then they said, no, they don't want the probates. And then I come back and I'm like, dude, what is up with you? You don't do that. You say, can I get a list of all the probate filings and all the cases for the probates?
Yeah.
You got to be like, you got to speak their language.
You got to speak their language a little bit. And guys, listen, the old rule of thought is spend time with the employees, these places trying to pull the list. They have the key to get what you want. So you might as well be nice and work with the gatekeeper, because me and Zach can consult you, but like 3,500 counties out there, every county does it different.
Yeah. So just be careful with that. On top of this too, you can use AI. So in freelancing.com, we have an AI section. And you can actually use AI to pull the government list and request them via email. Go to freelancing.com. That's a bonus exclusive for that too. Now, what are the best free marketing channels for government lists? Honestly, I found cold calling is the best one. Hands down, there's just not a better free marketing channel out here. Cold call these. You can SMS text blast government lists. You can actually send 30 a day. So use your own dang phone and just text them yourself if you really want to get crazy. You do 1,000, it's free. You can Facebook message sellers. You can door knock. That's basically it. Now, for paid marketing channels, you can cold call. So cold calling is free and paid, depending on what you do. You can text blast the software like smszac.com. You can send out direct mail. You can do reverse drawing for dollars, or you can have employees to scale it out, right? We'll talk about this a little later for the challenge, but that's pretty much how you do it. So the question today is, what is your homework? Basically, what your homework for today is, number one, start polling and marketing two government lists. That is it. Find two government lists to start marketing to.
Dose.
Did I say seven? Did I say eight? Did I say no? I said two. Just find two government lists that we talked about that resonates with you and just focus on those two. Don't focus on, just focus on two. Okay. That, like, let's do that. Have 30 minutes. I'm giving everybody, when this live stream is over, 30 minutes to decide what government list to pull. 30 minutes. That's all you get. I'm only giving you 30 minutes. What? I only got 30. Yeah. You only got 30 minutes. Figure it out. All right. And then, heck, some people are so analysis paralysis, they can't even after. Put it on a spinner wheel, click the button and let it spin and choose it for you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't complicate it. Take massive action. Take it. And then the last but not least part, the one that freaks people out.
Uh-oh.
I want you to make 100 contacts this month of government lists. It's a non-negotiable. What does non-negotiable mean? In my opinion,
it's a check term.
Non-negotiable means no negotiating on it. There's no like, oh, but what if? No. No. You have to do 100 contacts this month if you are serious about changing your life. If you are serious about becoming the top wholesaler you possibly can be and actually getting wholesaling deals, 100 contacts. What's 100 contacts? It's not even a lot. A contact is a hello. You're actually getting in contact with somebody over the phone, over text, whatever it is, and you ask them if they want to sell the property. Just ask 100 people if they want to sell their house. That's it. Off a government list. Yeah. It's not complicated. It just gets the ball rolling, and it will lead you to wholesaling success. So, guys, that is day 8 of the 30-day wholesaling challenge. And I'm telling you guys, it is amazing to be talking to you guys. It's amazing to help you guys out. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So what I want to do is answer some questions, do some quick one-on-ones really quick, and help the people out. But guys, make sure you go to freelisting.com. Air free real estate wholesaling course. We'll help you learn wholesaling real estate for free. So first and foremost, we got Laura. Hello. It's my. You got to unmute yourself. All right. Michael.
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, man? How are you doing today?
I'm all right. So, I haven't done the government list because originally I was in Michigan, and I had to actually I have two that's under contract, but I sent it to JV because I was just trying to get it done. But it was from Zillow, but I did send it to you guys. But you guys didn't call me back, but I wasn't sure.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
What city is it in?
It's in I think two of them was in the Hamtramck, I think Michigan.
Hamtramck? Where?
Yeah. Let me see. Yeah, they're both in the same like block. Cause I got two cell. It was
city.
The same seller.
Give me the city, man.
Hamtramck is H-A-M T R M A C K. Yeah, give me 1 second because I don't have it in front of me. I don't know how the city is H A M T R A M C K.
Hamtramck. Okay. All right. Let's see here. And he didn't get a call back on it. What is the listing price?
So the listing price were both $189.
Okay, and what is it? What do you get under contract for?
All right, so one of them I got it under contract for $150 because it's the absentee owner. It's been listed on Zillow for over almost a couple of years. So I guess
Michael, the VA denied it instantly. I want you to understand that. So the first thing when you go to sellmypaper.com, our first one's like no FSBOs. Like we're just not doing FSBOs right now. And on top of that, even if it's a FSBO, it has to be 70% of the FSBO price. That's the qualifications. We can't sell the deal, dude. If it's not that.
And the population.
No, it's Wayne County. It's fine.
Okay.
But so no one on our team even was able to see it because it got denied instantly. We don't sell deals that bad. We don't wait. We have really good buyers, man, and we're not going to go poop deals to them because they're going to be like, oh, you're the boy that cries wolf, bad deals. We have to underwrite it ourselves, man. Do you understand my rules for Zillow for sale by owners?
No, I get it,
And why did you go against my rule?
I was trying to get one of them down, but then I was trying to get, because one of them, he said that there's no work, and he was saying that they already had a tenant that was just paying $25 a month.
I say 70. I offer 70% off of Zillow. Why didn't you? You should have locked. Our team would have not even scoffed at that unless it was listed for 132 under contract for 132. You're like 30 or 40 grand off, man.
Yeah, I was trying to get it, but he was he wasn't.
But Michael,
you got to move on. You just got to find someone else to do it.
You're calling me out complaining that no one talked to you. You didn't talk because you went against our underwriting rule. We make it.
I wasn't
clear.
Complaining. I would hit him back, so I'm not sure. It's hard to get in front of you. That's why.
But you got to follow our rules, man. And one thing you should understand too is when I tell everyone to do Zillow for sale by owners on freelisting.com, I say 70% of the Zillow price. I want you to know I say that because in my own wholesaling business, that's what I do. And that's what my dispo team deals with too. So when they see that, they're like, that's a stupid deal. And so I'm just telling you, if you can't follow that rule, we're probably not going to call you back. Now, if it's an off market, our team will probably call you and ask you why. But Fizbo's has to be 70%, man. I will ruin my relationships with the buyers by doing bad deals like that. And as somebody that's trying to scale up my operations for JVs, I can't burn buyers, especially in this market.
It's just very expensive for us to pay people to sort through all the data. And we get a lot of deals submitted. And like, if they're told if the rules aren't followed, I have to pay these people and I'm doing it. I want to do a deal with you. So you're learning through the process. Me and Zach are telling you the truth. Most people in this bit, they won't tell you the truth. They'll tell you everything you want to hear. You're going to have to find more motivation. And the reality is most FSBOs, why we do that 70%, because they're usually way overpriced to begin with. So we have to have room to even make it work. Because when we give it to our buyers, it's like, and you got to understand, we spend time, money, and energy, and we're trying to teach you the tools. Now, you're making progress. Don't get upset about it. I appreciate your effort, but like, you got to understand, when we're trying to scale what we do, we have room. We're not charging you for this. We're trying to split it with you. But if we can't get the basic underwriting criteria, we can't move forward. 300 deals get submitted. If I sat there and called everybody all day, I would never get anywhere. So
that's it. I'm just telling you. So I would renegotiate those deals to the rules that we have at Freelancing.
Or get out of the contract. I don't want you at risk. The numbers don't work.
Because that's what I send it first to see if you guys call. So I didn't even send it to the title company. So
yeah, it won't even pass the underwriting, man.
No. So like, I'll call, because he's hard to get in contact. So I'll call him back, because one of them said that it's that he has like tenants in it already, but it's getting $2,500 a month, but doesn't need work. So I was like, you know, that might be a good cash flow for somebody who wants like rentals. And then I was just, I'll call him back tonight to see if we can get it down to both of them at least one, like say 130 to 130, if he's willing to do that. Because like I said, he signed the contract, but I didn't send it to the title company yet, because I was waiting to see if you guys if anybody would call me. So I wanted to do that first, because I was trying to get on the first deal under the JV so I could get into flipping away.
Yeah, that's great. Just do a deal that's good, man. I can't waste my Michigan buyers like that.
But now I'm thinking of switching to Michigan, because I'm not sure. Because I have another one that Michigan seems like the deals I'm getting is like not that good. So I'm getting one of them I have.
List are you pulling?
So I've been trying to get the government list. I have to like go back onto it, because time when I work and stuff is like kind of hard to pull them, because by the time I go home, they already closed. So it's like so now I'm doing like I did like list on processing. I was doing probates. So I got to keep going, and I had like 500.
Why just the arrest records? You can actually do the arrest records at like night.
Yeah. So like, but then
did you?
I didn't try the rush records. So,
do that. You can do that outside of work.
Yeah, so I'm off this Monday and Tuesday, so I have all day, so to like just put a list. I don't mind doing like the cold calling and the SMS. I'm just trying to get the deal first so I can leave the job. I'm at job right now. I'm at lunch trying to, you know. Yeah, so I don't even want to work here. I just want to rather do this.
Well, yeah, awesome, Michael. I want you to know, everyone at Flip the Work Plus, we only have a certain amount of markets we're doing because we're trying to scale it up. But if you want, you can do this. You can submit other deals. So, Michael, if you really want, you can submit that deal to sellmypaper.com, but there's a bottom section on sellmypaper.com where you can send deals to Flip the Work Plus students. The point of it is, I want these Flip the Work Plus students to make 10, 20 grand a year at minimum, just doing JV deals, just to get their some money from it. Mm-hmm. And so basically you can, if you're in like, let me use a market. I don't do Boise, Idaho. If you have a deal in Boise, Idaho, we have some people in Flip the Work Plus in Boise, Idaho. You can submit it in sellmypaper.com, not to me, but to Flip the Work Plus students. And they'll reach out to you and JV with you. And they're held to a higher standard, because I'll kick them out if they screw you. But they're trained how to JV, and they're going to make tens of thousands of dollars just being inside of Flip the Work Plus. That's the point. So you and everybody watching this, if you have a deal that's not in our market and you want to do a deal with us, but you can't, go to sellmypaper.com and actually submit it on the bottom section and send it to a Flip the Work Plus student. We're getting these people paid too.
Yeah, they're just...
So you can go in there and find markets to do and work with them there.
Yeah, because I like I'm doing virtual, so like I don't mind what market. Like I'm the type of person that I'll go anywhere, like wherever the buyers and the sellers are. So like, I'm not stuck to like Michigan because I don't I live in New York, so I'm not doing New York because I already know it's kind of hard to start in New York, and plus I don't drive, so it's like I gotta really do virtual to start out. But I switched to Vegas too, so I have actually one deal that actually might be coming soon. I just have to wait for this seller to sign it.
Okay. All right. Well, let me know, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Boom. Yeah, guys, we're actually getting. I was like, all right, why don't we just get everyone Flipbook Plus like a $10,000 deal each? You get 10, everyone gets 10. So the point is, I want everyone Flipbook Plus to make at least six figures from Flipbook Plus is actually a marketing channel, just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
Like we're getting, I literally have a spreadsheet of like hundreds, not hundreds. I think there's like 40 or 50 deals submitted just for people outside because I'm
the only community of 100% wholesalers.
But you can actually get deals sent into you guys in a little community, you guys, JV. It's insane, but
it's pretty FYI cool.
There. So let's talk to who else we got? We got Yovella.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
Hey there.
I'm good, thank you.
How can I help you out?
I don't think I had a question, did I?
Why are you here?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. What's going on?
Oh, okay. Let me ask you a question. Your free wholesaling website, the one that's $99 a month, is it? And what's? I'm kind of confused.
Freewholesaling.com is free.
But there's another. It's saying
freewholesaling.com. Are you talking about freewholesaling.com or Flipbook Plus?
Yeah. So what's the difference between the two? When am I going to get at the one?
Let me say this. Flipbook Plus is free, and it is the only education platform we really have. And so Flipbook Plus is an education platform. It's more about the community of people coming in, and then people work with each other. They do JV deals with each other. They help each other out, and then we'll give you guys JV deals from other people. Freewholesaling.com is just how to get your first 100K, your first $1 million, whatever it is. I give people Flipbook Plus. I'm like, go to freewholesaling.com first. And so freewholesaling.com is the free, it's our course, okay? Flipbook Plus is just a little bonus for the people that do JV deals with us or people that want to just chip in and just help run it for the community section. Flipbook Plus has live events, like in person. We do extended streams, bonus streams.
You just get more of me and Zach. Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's not required. Everything you need is in freewholesaling.com to get your first deal up to your first 100 grand.
Go through that before you can consider anything else. Yeah. And Flipbook Plus is free. I want you to know, if you send us a deal and we do a deal with you, Flipbook Plus is free. So my favorite path for everybody, go through freewholesaling.com, do a deal, JV that deal with us, and then get into Flipbook Plus for free. And then go to our live events and meet us. That's probably what I'd say for most people.
You didn't sell her. You didn't upgrade her.
And you guys, JV in Pennsylvania?
I believe so. I feel like in the Philly area.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in Philly right now.
Perfect.
There you go. Just gave you a free path.
So go to freewholesaling.com and then send us a JV deal and we'll make some money. We'll make some money and we'll do good.
Okay. And then one question about the probates. So when there's somebody that's passed away, mm-hmm. And because I ran across people who, you know, their houses, they passed away. They did not go through probate yet. You have to take them through that probate process first in order for you to purchase the house.
Inevitably, for them to transfer that property, because a deceased person can't sign over a deed, they will have to go through the probate process. So
now, can you just like maybe purchase an interest in it?
So here's what you can do is. Find out if the person passed away, if they had a will, makes it much clearer of a path. And I've done people 10, 20 years after someone's passed away because the family didn't have the financial means to pay for the probate process. If there is a will and a clear path to who's supposed to inherit the house and the family's all on board with it, you can enter into an agreement with who's ever going to be the responsible party. And then it's simply reaching out to a title company, involving a probate attorney, and then the average probate cost without any type of like court proceedings other than formal paperwork is about $3,000. So let me give an example. If a house is worth $100,000 and they didn't file a probate, say they had a will and maybe there's just two sisters or one sister is going to get the house. The house is a little run down and you present them a contract, say for $50,000. And they're like, yeah, we just want to get it done. Then basically you can have them reimburse you the expenses of the probate after the fact. You can fund half the probate up front. You can get an outside investor to do it. And then the bottom line is if they'll sell you that property at a deep discount and you can get them to sign a basic agreement, which we provide it all at freewholesaling.com, then we teach you how to reach out to the title company, a probate attorney to get it done. You're not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. Zach's not a lawyer. You're trying to find people that need to sell properties. The reality is they can't list that property with a realtor. Most real estate investors can't buy it. If you can solve this problem, you're going to make the most amount of money. And all the tools in freewholesaling.com are there to show you how to do it. That's it. And I'd be happy to partner up on a deal like that with you because those are my favorite deals in the world to do. They have the most profit. You can make at least 50 grand on a deal like that with your eyes shut.
Yeah. What did you say is the average wholesale cost? I mean, the average probate cost?
Around $3,000. That's without being court contested. That's what the paperwork costs and have a lawyer to file the paperwork. On average, it's around $3,000. So don't let $3,000 scare you because a lot of families can't afford to file that. So if you set up a situation where you could actually fund that, get the deal done, you can make potentially $50,000. Remember, the bigger the problem you solve, the more money you make. That's how life works. Just because you don't know exactly how to do it, you have an opportunity. The question is, are you going to push forward and get it done?
Exactly.
Yeah, I deal with this in like New York, and I know in New York you can purchase interest in properties. We don't even have to go through the probate.
You can I don't think you're going to do that in Pennsylvania, but
just
find out how much they want to get for the property and see if it's a deal before you waste all your time and energy. That's it.
Okay. And then you can put them through it. You can put them under a contract while they go through the probate.
I'm actually going to take our 2-page contract at freewholesaling.com and see if they'll sign it.
I would go to freewholesaling.com and go through the whole probate thing because we got hours of it for you. Right?
And it's free for you. I'm giving you the guidance you need to get your first deal under contract. It's up to you if you're going to use it or not.
Okay.
You got this.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate it. I forgot to tell you we got this in the mail today. How'd it go? The post office today. We got another Flipbook Plus person getting a free 1 year for Flipbook Plus.
I wonder where
we got. All right, not terrible. Can I show this? Hold on. I don't know if y'all can. Now y'all can't see that. Can I go? Wait.
We got the other camera, didn't we? We got. How much money did we get? This was a. Come on. What is this? $3,750. Not crazy for us, but
what's the assignment on that one? We go through a lot. So we got, I love the title company because they give us the, we get the HUD statements. So this was a 20,000, whatever it was. We got a good split on that one. And then we had where's our thing on here? These HUDs are actually insane.
Yeah, but every state's so different.
So assignment fee right here, $35,000. So pretty good, $35,000. Actually, let me show you guys what the assignment. I can actually let me show you actually what the HUD looks like.
These are real deals, most likely government lists, and guys, they happen every day in our local business, our virtual businesses, and all the JV partners we do.
Let me show you guys really quick. So let me get some information. But I want to give a shout out. Cool deal here. So let's get rid of the LO. I don't get in trouble now.
You just put your hand over it.
No, people got to see the assignment fee. All right, let me show you. So another great deal here. We got assignment fee, $35,000. $35,000 assignment fee. So keep sending your deals. So the reason why I want to show that is we got that in the mail today. Didn't show you that. That's cool.
I didn't see that.
But send us your deals. Texas is really hot right now. So send us your Texas deals And if you want Flip the Request for free, send me deals, get us paid, and then we'll get it going. We actually have a we're locking down the live event for Flip the Request. We're doing two live events a year.
We should have an announcement next week.
We'll have an announcement next week on that. And
it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot. We are going to lose our butt on it. Guys, it's like we're putting together like three weddings at once. I didn't know.
You get married?
No. Basically, I'm getting married to the game of wholesaling. But we did the math. Like, it's going to be 30 or 40 grand to host an event. I'm like,
I don't care, dude. I want
to. It's crazy. So flip. So the reason why I have to drop 30, 40 grand on an event, it's crazy expensive. I got to feed y'all. I got to get you. We're getting a really cool place. If I get hundreds of people that gave me $4,000 checks, it's like, okay, I can drop 40 grand on a live event and do all the stuff we have. That's kind of what I'm saying. So everyone wonders like, why can't I just get Flip the Request? Because I got to drop 40 grand on live events. I got to do all. So send me JV deals and it allows me to give you guys even more. And then we'll make it 10.
And we actually work with you 2 full days on your wholesaling operations. I don't bring in a ridiculous line of speakers to sell you a million things so I can split products with them. So
35 grand.
We're the only ones that do it. Those who want to take advantage of it, I would love to work with you directly.
So yeah, I appreciate it, guys. So we do wholesaling for real. We are the top JV guys in the country. So send us your deals. And if you go to sellmypaper.com and it's a place that we don't send you guys deals, go to the tab. We'll actually get you Flip with Rick Plus students. We'll actually do JV deals with you. My goal is for every Flip with Rick Plus student to make 10 grand of JV deals just so they make get I just return. Want to make so much stupid money return the other guy got another probably 5 grand from us, right? So yeah. Like you're doing the oh no, he got half of the 35 divided by 2, he got 17.5. He made 17.5 and he has Flip the Plus for free.
Yeah,
crazy. So guys, huge Tony, return. Send us the deals and heck, I want him to make another $10,000 deal.
Yeah.
So I'm guys telling you, Flip the Plus, the reason why we're doing it, I'm trying to get everybody paid and everyone a bunch of money. I'm getting paid. Y'all getting paid. Free events, all this stuff. So, guys, go after it. Flip the Request. Go to freelancing.com too. And I'll see you guys soon. This is Zach Ginn signing out.
Rick Ginn signing out.
Appreciate it. Have a blessed one.